Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 250 of the Milk Bar. Just Jason in the studio. Where are you, Zoe?
I'm at home.
Yes. And because of the technicality of this going out on the radio as well, and the fact that some of our guests are on Skype today, means that you're just appealing for the intro, if that's all right.
Aww.
But it has to be done, unfortunately. But there we go. So it's nice to have you with us, though, if in spirit, if not in body at the moment. And 250 shows. How cool is that?
I know. It's gone so quick as well.
Yeah, I know. It's nearly 5 years now, and we'll have a proper party for the 5th anniversary, okay?
With nibbles.
Oh, yeah, we'll bring nibbles in again. You're obsessed with blooming nibbles. Go on.
I said you've got to have some good nibbles.
Okay, right.
It's a party.
It has to be done. Yes, calm down. Right, so we can do a giveaway, aren't we? Because we've got a goodie bag that's been sat in the studio for several weeks now, which involves a mug. We've got a bottle opener there, a milk bottle opener, which I think is quite cool. A T-shirt and the goodie bag itself. And all we need to do is you to email us and say hello. If you do that, we'll stick you in a draw for the goodie bag, okay?
That'll be fab. I think I might do that as well.
You're not allowed to.
Okay.
but do you know the email address to email in?
Oh, is it studio@themilkbarpodcast.com?
That is it. All you need to hurrahing again. That never works well. So all you got to do is say, drop us a line and tell us how much you love Zoe or don't. And we will stick you in the draw and you could win that goodie bag. Well, obviously everybody loves you, don't they?
Well, hopefully. Fingers crossed.
Do you want to know what's coming up on the show you're not going to hear today because you're actually at home?
Go on then.
Right, I'll be having a chat a little bit later on with Bob Lawrence when we'll be talking about his book, The Last Great Adventure for Boys, and also we'll have a natter about radio as well, knowing us too, so we can talk about that. Also, Sam Drazy is going to join us on the phone to tell us about a gig next Tuesday.
Oh, I like Sam Drazy.
Yeah, and also we're hearing from the Toy Hearts. We'll have some music from them too, and they're playing a gig on Saturday night.
Oh, I wish I'd have come now.
I know, it would have been great, wouldn't it? And also we'll be hearing from Graham Large and some of the rest of the gang who are travelling from Paris to London. And Graham and Neil are two guys who've already done the Paris Marathon and they're heading back to the UK to the London Marathon this coming Saturday. So we'll be hearing from them a little bit later on.
Oh, how exhausting.
Doesn't sound like good fun, does it?
No, not really.
Grueling, but all for charity.
Oh, that's all right then. But first of all,
Brastoff arrives as part of its 30th anniversary of the Miners' Strike Tour at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre, Tuesday the 8th through to Saturday the 12th of April. And joining me now on the phone, one of the stars of the show, Andrew Dunn. Hello.
Hello there. Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you, yeah.
Good stuff. Now, it must be an interesting one touring with Brastoff, because there's music, there's mining, and there's all sorts of odd places to visit for photo shoots, because you've just got back from Calix Mining Museum, haven't you?
We have, yes. We've just opened a new exhibition based on the mining experience that was Canuck there. So, yeah, it was very interesting, very good.
And it's an interesting play as well to be part of, because it's a film that's been loved for, it must be the best part of a decade and a bit now, 2 decades and a bit,
yeah.
Probably. So,
yeah.
What's it like touring with this one?
It's great. It's great because, one of the best experiences about the play, which is different to the film, obviously, is the fact that we have live brass bands playing with us, which I find that it lifts the entire piece. You know, people really enjoy the live music aspect of it all.
Now, in Wolverhampton, it's the Jackfield Brass Band. It's a local band,
yeah,
to each of the venues that you've been performing at as part
That's
of the
right,
tour.
Yeah.
And does that bring an extra bit of both drama and excitement as well, knowing that you're not going to know what happens next?
It does. It's like every venue is like an opening night again, because the band obviously haven't done the play, so we turn up and we rehearse them into the piece, like pushing them on stage and off stage, and where they have to sit and play and everything. And the local bands, they seem to really enjoy it. They really enjoy the experience. They get very involved, so that by the end of the week, they're out acting us, really, some of them.
And have you been tempted to pick up an instrument yourself? Because I think, do you have a trombone that features in this?
I play the trombone, yes, that's my instrument. But I happen to be the only actor who doesn't play the instrument. But I'm very good at miming. exceptionally good at miming.
That's all important when it could go horribly wrong. You don't want a piece of brass making a funny noise whilst you're on stage.
No, not whatsoever.
Could raise a few eyebrows in the boxes, I'll tell you that much, but there we are. So tell us about your role in the play.
I play the character called Phil, who's during the miners' strike. He was one of the ones who got arrested for violence against police, I suppose. I don't know exactly. So his story is the fact that he was in prison, then he lost his job. He eventually got reinstated, but consequently he's got into real debt with money lenders and all this sort of thing. So he's struggling. And it's his dad, Danny, who's played by John McArdle, who is the conductor of the band. So Mike Alex is in the band, obviously, and he gets everything he tries to do goes wrong, and he gets into depression, and he does try and commit suicide at one point. It sounds very bleak, but by the end, everything sort of pulls around together, and it's like a triumph against adversity sort of piece. So in the end, he wins through.
that's all important, particularly with anything you go and see on stage. Films can be depressing, but it's nice to have leave the theatre with a smile on your face. And I mean, you're more used to working in comedy and things as well, so I should think you bring a lot of that to the role.
Well, the whole piece is what I like best. It's like it has 1 minute it's comedy, and the next it's quite sad and a lot of pathos in it. So it's like real life, really, isn't it? You go through, and 1 minute you can be laughing, the next you can be down in the dumps, sort of thing. So I enjoy that sort of difference between the two things, and it's all in one play, and it seems to work with the audience. We have them crying, we have them laughing, so great.
And it's obviously set in living memory. Back in 92 is when we're looking. Does this mean you get some weird outfits to wear as well? Taking back to the 90s dress.
Not too bad, no.
Things haven't moved on too much since then, have they? You can still get away with jeans and a T-shirt, yeah?
Yeah, sort of thing, yeah. The haircuts aren't quite right either, I don't think, but do we want those sort of haircuts again?
Probably not. In the 90s, I still had hair, so I'd have been happy.
All right, okay.
Makes all the difference. I mentioned the fact that I have no hair there. I'm at the age of 42, but you're actually playing someone very close in age to your dad, in effect, aren't you? Because you've got youthful good looks on your side, I take it.
Well, I get away with it. A distance, yeah, I get away with it, I think. It's only because John, who's playing my father, has got grey hair at the minute.
There's only about 10 years between you, though, isn't there? So.
Not even that, I don't think. About 7 years, yeah, but we get away with it.
That tells us something about Yorkshire, does it? But
we get away with it,
okay.
I think.
That's all. And so you're partway through the tour. He's been impressing audiences up and down the country. I've read a number of the reviews. And how do you think it's going to go in Wolverhampton? Because obviously the area itself has seen its own fair share of problems from the industrial age at that time.
Because it is like an old industrial type area, I think people will relate to the story straight away. And we know the people at the Grand here have worked very hard to get Brastoff promoted, and we're looking forward to having a good audience, a good size audience in. But I think the people will thoroughly have a good night out. That's what seems to be happening in other parts of the country we've been to. And as I say, the live brass band music really, for me, is the icing on the cake. It really, people really enjoy the experience of it all.
Now, I have to admit, I have not seen the film, so when I come along for press night, this will be a new experience for me. But there's something called the flugelhorn in it. What's one of those?
Well, you see, I've been a master of the brass band, a flugelhorn. It's just I've no idea.
It's a big shiny thing, yeah?
I suppose it's like the brass band equivalent of a trumpet, I think, sort of thing. Because they don't have French horns or trumpets in brass bands. They're very specific about the sort of instruments they have in. And one is a flugelhorn. Why? I've no idea. But it's the Clara Darcy who plays Gloria. She has to play the flugelhorn, and she plays it very well, I might add.
Okay. And how many more of you are there in the cast?
There's 10 of us all together.
So it's a nice big production. Of course, then the brass band on top of that means the stage is full, yeah?
Yeah, and all those people who are the cast members who play meant to be playing instruments. They actually do play instruments. I'm the only one who doesn't. So they're all very talented.
and you just bring your acting perfection to it. That's what counts.
Yeah.
it sounds like a really good, enjoyable piece, and it's quite an impressive sound that comes from the stage, I'm guessing, because you actually get to see the orchestra literally on stage rather than
on stage,
than off.
Yeah. And we rehearsed with them last night, and they're very loud. They're very good. It fills the space, which is what's needed.
I'm sure it's going to be a great piece of entertainment for everybody who pops along, and that is Brasstoff at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre, Tuesday through Saturday evenings at 7:30 and Wednesday and Saturday matinees at 2:30. Tickets are priced at £9.50 through to £24.50, and there is a £3 per transaction booking fee if you do book your tickets in any way other than turning up in person at the Grand Theatre. 01902 429212 is the box office number, and grandtheatre.co.uk the website. But you knew all that, didn't you? Yeah, that was a definite yes.
Me personally, of course, yeah, I did, yes, but you did it very well.
Yeah.
It was very good.
Andy, great speaking to you. Looking forward to seeing you on stage, and break a leg but not a trombone, okay?
Right. Thank you very much.
Cheers.
All right.
Okay. Bye.
Well,
let's take some music from our featured band of the day. They are the Toy Hearts, and this is from their brand new EP, What Goes Up.
You leave me alone, you don't even phone. Carefree as a bird in the sky. Remember what goes up, it must come down. Maybe you've been flying too high. It's all over town, you're getting around. And I'm not gonna sit at home and cry. Remember what goes up, it must come down. Maybe you've been flying too high. You ought to get your walking papers, but now it's too late. Then you break down my gate to ring my front doorbell. So go have your fling, I know you dare miss a thing. I'll see you down earth by and by. Remember what goes up, it must come down. Maybe you've been flying too high.
Brand new EP by the Toy Hearts, one of whom joins me on the phone now. Hannah, hello.
Hi, hello, thanks for having me.
No problem at all, thank you for joining us, because you're actually going to be rather busy this weekend, as on Saturday, yep, the 12th of April, you play the Health and Happiness Show, which is part of Chuck McAuliffe and his mate Luke. They're putting all that together at the Bloxwich Library venue, the Bookmark down there, and that's Elmore Row in Bloxwich, and it's going to be an exciting night, I am sure.
Yeah, we're really looking forward to it. Chuck's been a good friend of ours and the band for a while, so we're really happy that we've managed to make this event work, and I hear it's been selling well, which is wonderful for the cause.
Well, it makes a good night for everybody. And because you're down there with your sister, Sophia, and your dad, Stuart, and you're all performing on stage. And it's over a decade you guys have been playing together in public now, isn't it?
That's right. Yeah, we've certainly been doing it a while. I guess I was 16 and my sister was maybe 18, 19. And we asked Dad to join us because we didn't know any other banjo players. So that's how it all began.
And if you can't rely on your dad to not only give you a lift there, which is also good, you can have a cheeky one, won't you, when you're there as well, because he's driving. And you've got someone to look after you as well and be roadie. So it sounds like a really good way of doing it. And obviously, we've heard one of your songs there. Now, is that indicative of the whole of your musical performances, or do you get a good variety of different types of music from the threesome?
Our live show is definitely full of variety. The first set is bluegrass and acoustic instruments, and the second is swing music. So the new EP is definitely representative of the swing side of things, but our live show is about variety, yeah.
It's going to be a good night then, and people can get tickets just by contacting the bookmark at Blockswitch. And
they can.
I take it that, you know, we can find out more about you beforehand, though, by visiting your website too?
That's right, and we've just released a new video that we made in Austin, Texas, and you can check us out on YouTube and all that jazz.
So, because the EP, was that recorded in Texas?
Yes, it certainly was.
How does that come about? Because we're not talking family holiday here, we're talking going over there to work properly.
That was right, we got visas and we lived there for 6 months, and we've been working in Austin for the last 5 years, and it's just a great town and definitely somewhere we wanted to be over the summer, and it was a great opportunity to record there. We have a wonderful bass player, Jake Irwin, who joins us on bass. So, we're really excited about the EP.
Well, worthwhile getting yourself down there. Say, the Toy Hearts are performing live at the Health and Happiness Show, and that's going to be at the Bookmark, Blockswich Libraries venue on Elmore Row in Blockswich. For tickets, 01922 655 900. Give them a call and make sure there are still plenty left, because we wouldn't want you to be disappointed. But well worth getting down to see you guys play. Right, we're going to take some more music from you now. Tell us a little bit about the next song we're going to hear.
This Little Kitty, yes. So we made this album in 2010 in Nashville, another place we visited a lot. And this song, I guess, incorporates some of our love for kind of gypsy jazz music. It's a bit of gypsy grass, if you want a kind of term of a made-up genre for the song. But it's one my sister Sophia wrote, and it's just a fun song.
So taken from the album Femme Fatale, this is the Toy Hearts and This Little Kitty.
Sliding, and the truth that I've been hiding is on display for all the world to see. I'm not a good girl, and now it's meant to be free. But tonight, I'm flying, running, I'm moonshine and lightning. Come on, baby, we've gotta hit the floor. Cause I'm in the mood for dancing, so swing me, sway me, squeeze me a little bit more. I'm a wild cat, a stray cat, a king of the sea. This little kitty always lands on her feet. I guess I had my loss, and I'm down below. Oh. I can't stand traffic, it's such a lot of fun. My heart may be bleeding, but it's kept on a beating. A crazy rhythm I cannot control. I'm not broken yet, there's fire in my soul. Well, I'm drunken and I'm spinning, but the dizziness ain't winning. Tomorrow is a million miles away. I don't wanna go home, I wanna still be dancing till the break of day. Such a lot of fun. If bad girls don't go to heaven, I guess I ain't gonna go. Well, I try to be a good girl, if I got nothing to show, I'll just cut my losses and move along down the road. Such a lot of fun.
Toy Hearts and This Little Kitty. To the phones we go once more, and off to France. Somewhere about 25 miles outside Paris, we find Graham Large. We're also going to talk to Neil Taylor and Jason Guy in a moment or two's time. Well, first of all, Graham, hello, sir.
Hello, Jason, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm all right, a bit sore after yesterday, but I'm doing all right.
A bit injured at the moment. We better explain what you've been up to.
Yeah.
Taking part in a big charity event at the moment, which is seeing you going from Paris to London, and you've already done the Paris Marathon.
Indeed, I did the Paris Marathon yesterday, completed it in 5 hours and 19 minutes, which was a bit slower than I wanted to, but unfortunately I had to stop for treatment twice during the course.
Yeah, because it wasn't without incident. Now, is this the first marathon you've actually run? Obviously, you've run further probably as part of your training, but is this your first marathon in its entirety?
It's my first competitive marathon, yeah.
Yeah, so that's a big feat in itself. So well done. Round of applause, sir.
Thank you.
And you've got a team over there with you. So explain exactly what's going on.
Yesterday was just the start. What's actually happening is myself and Neil, who ran the Paris Marathon yesterday, we're then cycling from Paris to London via the Dieppe to New Haven ferry route, in time to arrive in London, ready to run the London Marathon on Sunday.
That's one heck of a feat. I don't envy you that at all, and certainly yeah, good luck to you as it goes on. But you haven't been able to cycle today due to the injuries. Yeah, have you felt pretty bad having to sit that bit out?
Yeah, unfortunately my hip tightened up at around about the 17-mile mark yesterday.
You're getting old, you see. This is what it is, mate. How old are you now?
I'm 29.
You see, they're shocking. Yeah, it's just getting on a bit. So, but, it's one of the things you can't plan for, isn't it? So do you hope to be able to get on a bike sometime this week, or are you going to have to rest to make sure you can do that marathon on Sunday?
I think I'm going to be ready to go tomorrow morning. I'm going to take it easy, see how it goes. If I have to only do half a day tomorrow, then that will be the case. But I've just got to listen to my body and take it from there. The fortunate thing yesterday was the fact there was a team of masseuses at the Paris Marathon, so I was able to stop and get treatments. And
I'm not going to make any comments about the fact you just wanted a free massage.
Yeah, well, quite hard to respond to that either.
No, you can't get away with that one.
But no, I mean, if it hadn't been for them, I wouldn't have completed the race in the time that I did, so I've got to be thankful to them. But with me, it got to the point where if I had to walk across the finish line, that was how it was going to be. I was determined to finish it.
And you did, so well done on that one. Now, there's not just you three guys over there doing cycling at the moment, is there?
No, five of us in total cycling.
And one of the others is Jason Guy, so we'll have a little chat with him, find out how that's going, but okay. Keep up the good work. Hopefully you'll have a good day on the bike tomorrow. Make sure it's all downhill, OK?
OK, cheers, Jason.
Thanks, mate. So, Jason Guy, you have been cycling today, and as I mentioned at the top, you're about 25 miles outside of Paris. Has that been a bit of a difficult trek for you?
It hasn't been too bad, actually. We've been on a route which has been translated from French to English, because obviously everybody does the Paris to London route is French. And there's been a couple of little mishaps along the way, but so far so good. I think we've done 29 miles today, and it's been a great day weather-wise as well, so we can't complain, and there's no injuries to report, so far so good.
That's the way we want to keep it as well. Thank you very much. And what's the total mileage you've got to do on this trip?
The total mileage, I believe, is just over 200, so it's about 208, so that's going to break down as 60 miles tomorrow, I believe 50 to 60 the next day, and then we've got the New Haven to London trip, which is, once again, probably going to be the toughest one, which is 70 miles. So we're looking forward to that one after 3 days of full cycling, especially Neil and Graham, who've done a marathon as well. I'm quite fortunate in as I haven't. And then obviously culminates with Neil and Graham doing another marathon, so should be fun.
I think you're all mad, but you're all doing it for a very good cause. So keep up the good work, as I said to Graham, and I shall look forward to a full update when you're back in the UK, OK?
Definitely. Thank you very much, Jason.
Now, Neil Taylor, landlord of the Fox at Chipley, you are out there and you've done your marathon. And what was your timing on that one?
It was 4:53, Jason, which a bit disappointed with the time, but to be honest, the weather was quite unusually warm yesterday, but obviously you had to take it easy anyway with the next marathon next Sunday anyway.
It's one of those things where you can't push it. You can go for a quick time in London if you can still manage it after all the cycling, etc. I know you'll do well. I know you've been putting a lot of preparation into this. And we've talked in the past about one of the causes you're fundraising for. Tell us who's benefiting from the charity efforts you're doing.
Obviously, yet again, we're doing it for Birmingham Children's Hospital. The reason being my daughter's had 5 heart operations there, and quite simply, if it wasn't for them, she wouldn't be here now. So, obviously, we do as much as we can for them.
And so there's lots of people giving you lots of support. If people do want to put money into the fund, how do they do that?
Obviously, there's a couple of ways they can do it. They can obviously do it the old-fashioned way by popping into the Fox and putting a couple of quid into the collection boxes we've got around the place at the moment. Or obviously, they can do it on our Just Giving page, which is obviously www.justgiving.com/Paris to London 2014.
Paris T.O. London 2014 as numbers.
That's right, yeah.
And get your cash in that way. Please also tick the box for the gift aid or whatever it is that that also helps make an extra bit of money too. And obviously, London on the 13th, what happens after that? It must be back to the Fox for a few pints, I'm guessing.
It certainly is, Jason. To be honest, we're going to stay in London for a couple of days to chill out, come back up to the Midlands on Tuesday, and then obviously have a couple of beers in the Fox to celebrate our achievements and thank everybody for the fundraising that they've participated in.
And Graham will probably have another free massage, won't he, by that point as well, to be fair?
So. I would have thought so. He won't be the only one, I don't think, to be honest, Jason.
Well, proud of what you're doing. Sounds absolutely fantastic. Gave you mention at Molyneux on Saturday, and it got you got a good ripple of applause as we were talking about what you were off doing. So I know everyone in the Midlands is willing you on to make those trips. Enjoy your cycling and taking a bit of the French countryside and some of the local wine on the way.
We'll try to, Jason.
You'll force yourself, yeah.
Yeah, and really appreciate your support and obviously your mention at the Molyneux on Saturday, as you've already spoken about. Much appreciated.
No, all good, and so we're pleased with what you're doing. You're doing a great job out there, and hopefully you're wearing Wolves colours somewhere along the way too.
Yes, we'll definitely be having a few pictures along the way.
Brilliant. Neil, thank you for joining us. Thanks also to Graham and to Jason too. And we will look forward to news of your return to the Midlands over the next few days.
Thanks, Jason. Thanks Cheers. A lot for your support, mate.
Driving
Cheers.
Bye. Let's take some more music from the Toy Hearts now. This is Whiskey.
This pain or misery, it's just a matter of opinion, just a matter of time, and I'm just sitting here waiting for mine. But you are nothing but a memory. Whiskey will take a taste of heartbreak from my mouth. Time looking for someone to blame. We have stop. Whiskey will take the taste of heartbreak from my mouth. This feeling that without you I'll go crazy. I am not done drinking yet. I can still taste regret upon my tongue. Now I will drink this bottle like it's going out of style. It will numb me for a while till I pass out. Heartbreak from my mouth.
From the Toy Hearts. The phone lines we go, where we find the one and only Sam Drazy. Hello, sir.
Hiya, how are you?
I'm good. How are you keeping?
I'm all right, thank you.
Keeping out of trouble?
I'm trying, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Right, so you've got a gig coming up in Wolverhampton on Tuesday, the 15th of April. Tell me all about it.
It's a guy called Oxygen Thief who's headlining, and I'm promoting it and I'm playing as well. And he's touring to promote a new EP that he's released through Extra Mile, which is Extra Mile Records, which is like that's Frank Turner's record label, and Ben Marwood, and people who are a bit making a lot of noise and waves at the moment in the singer songwriter scene. And so you've got him and myself and three other really really good sort of local acts, and it's going to be a really really good night.
And the whole theme has got a bit of a protest feel to it from the background of some of the bands. And it's going to be absolutely great music, but some passion behind it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like I said, I've booked all of the acts, so I kind of tried to get that continuous theme throughout all of the guys. So if you like your music kind of acoustic and angsty or protesty or whatever you want to call it.
A bit of an edge to it, I think.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
But it's certainly accessible. I mean, your music has always gone down well whenever I've heard it played, and you were particularly popular in the middle of Molyneux when you played on the pitch for us earlier on this year. And yeah, lots of good comments from there as well. So, you know, it's going to be well worth getting down to see you and the rest of the gang. Name check the other three bands for us.
Right, so we've got David Young, Neil Morris and Josh Briggs.
So all performing live on the night, and I suppose you each of you doing what, about a 20-minute set and then a little longer from your headliner?
Yeah, it'll be something like that, I should think.
And how do tickets work out for this one? Is it mostly pay on the door, or can you book them in advance?
You can get tickets from me or from my website, and they're £5, or you can pay £6 on the night on the door.
Okay, so they'll all be labelled up as Oxygen Thief. And your web address, please, sir?
Well, it's just www.sundraysy.com.
And the venue again?
It's the Grain Store.
What time do people need to be down there?
We're going to, I think the doors are open about 7:30.
And it's going to be going on for quite a while. It's going to be a nice late night for you.
Yeah, well, we had a kind of influx of support acts. There's a lot of people wanting to get involved, and a lot of people I wanted to get involved on the gig. So the four supports and a headline, it's going to be a lot of music for your money.
I should think it's going to be well worth it, and all that pent-up angst as well, thrown in for good measure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sam, always good to speak to you. Let's take a listen to one of your songs. What are we going to hear?
We're going to do Where We Came From.
Wiser, then they'll forget where they came from for a while before you can remind them. You might think they have forgotten what happened a lifetime ago, when this state was rotten right down to its bones. I hope we don't do the same again. Down this river before, so we know. Surely this can't be the only way to go. Well, I've heard you all talking about the days when the streets paved with gold were covered with waste, and the people with keys to the kingdom are like secret police. To stand up for what was right and just meant going on strike, biting the dust while your fellow man is lining his pockets with your dreams. And I pray that those days will never return. Hoping this can't be the only way we will love. So we'll stand up now, or we will take heart from the decade that almost blew this country apart. And we'll learn from the lessons if you're ready to teach. So we can all learn and equal compare just what we deserve and breathe the free air of a country that can't be that far out of reach. And the young will get wiser, and then they'll forget where they came from for a while before we can remind them.
To the phones we go, where we find the one and only Bob Lawrence, absolute star. Known him for many a year, well, probably more than either of us care to mention. And you have just gone from radio star, voiceover expert, into the world of authorship as well.
Yeah, well, yes, yeah, sort of. Hello.
Hello.
Nice to speak to you again after so many years. Yes, I suppose so. I'm not sure about the radio star bit, and I'm not really sure about the author thing. But... I mean, there's an old saying, isn't there, that everybody's got a book in them somewhere. And
yours has just escaped onto the shelves.
Yeah. Well, it's many, many years ago. I mean, before you and I worked together at Beacon Radio all those years ago, I used to be on Radio Caroline when Caroline was on a ship on the North Sea. And over the years, a few of the guys who did Caroline have written books about my time on Caroline. And there's a 200-page book about... Then this happened and then that happened. And lots of people over the years have said to me, well, you should write one. And the reason I never have is because there are just so many books by others. Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, you know, what's the point? And then a pal of mine just said to me, when are you going to write your book? And for some reason, instead of the usual reaction of, oh, no, I'm not going to, I suddenly thought, why not write a novel based on my experiences there.
So this is where the last great adventure for boys comes from.
Yeah, because quite frankly, somebody said that to me many, many, many years ago, and they described that whole time as the last great adventure for boys, which of course it was, because the way it worked was for 6 or 7 weeks at a time, you were plonked on this ship, which was anchored down to the seabed, 20 miles from land. And you can imagine a bunch of young blokes all living together in that environment. A lot of stuff happened. Now, interestingly, Big Brother, the Big Brother teleprogram, mm-hmm. was initially made by a guy called John de Mol. Now, John de Mol had more than a passing interest in another floating radio station. And rumor is, and I don't know whether this is true, but rumor is that the idea for Big Brother came from the fact that there was this confined area where people couldn't just get away from each other. They were living together 24 hours a day for weeks on end. And that was the rumor. So in that kind of environment, as you can imagine, there's a lot of stuff which happened, Jason. And I just thought the nice vehicle would be a novel. So I've taken some fact, added little bits to it, and turned it into fiction. So hopefully, fingers crossed, it's an interesting read. But the reason I questioned whether I'm an author is because when you get to read the book, you'll see that I'm really not an author. I do say in the foreword, the prologue, as I called it,
yeah.
I'm really not an author. I'm just a bloke with a story. And I hope that it's the story which is what carries it through. So, yeah, it's a story about a bunch of blokes living together on a ship with a huge 50,000-watt transmitter, which goes into the UK and Holland and Belgium and France and Scandinavia and Germany. And, you know, when you look back now, you think, my word, what an opportunity that was. And, yeah, that's the premise of the book, really.
It sounds like really good fun as well. I'm sure there were some moments that weren't. And
oh, yeah.
I'm sure there's some bits of the book which are probably a little more autobiographical than you're going to let on to.
Well, I'm certainly not denying or confirming this rumour. I mean, the main character in the book is a bloke called Bob, which, you know,
gives the game away slightly, potentially.
Well, it's interesting, you know, and he's a Charlton Athletic supporter, which coincidentally so am I.
Yeah.
And he comes from Southeast London, which coincidentally so am I. But yeah, I mean, in all honesty, he's based on me, but I've added some bits. I mean, he's far cooler than I ever was.
Oh, come on, you've always been cool.
You're a liar.
Oh, not at all. Yeah, though, I remember the days that it was a flock around you, groupies you had, and you were a beacon. I don't know.
The groupies that I had. Yeah,
something like that, anyway.
Yeah, as I stumbled down New Hampton Road West trying to find where Tetnall had gone.
But it must be fun telling this story. And have any of your colleagues from yesteryear read some of the drafts of this as it's gone along? And
no.
You've kept it quiet.
I've kept it quiet. A couple of weeks ago, I produced 60 copies just as a limited edition demo. And because a lot of my background is music, and I love music, and I just had this idea that sometimes, you know, when you make an LP, showing my age, an LP, when you make an album, you just release demo versions of it and say, well, you know, selected people can have a quick listen to what the album's going to sound like. And so I did much the same with the book. And so 60 copies were produced, but it was very rough at that stage. I mean, there were spelling mistakes and typos and all sorts. And that's gone down really well. I mean, that went amazingly well. That sold out very, very quickly. There was a big event going on. It was a radio event. And I had a little table, a little trellis table thing with my books on it. And that went really quick. And I'm hoping that the level of interest there is an indication of the level of interest that there might be from others. I've deliberately tried to make it a non-radio anorak book. So if you know nothing at all about radio, you'll be able to follow the story completely. And if you are an anorak, there's some bits in there for you as well. So I'm hoping it's a fairly wide-ranging thing. A couple of the guys have read bits of it, a couple of my compatriots from the time. And, yeah, it's been positive. It's been positive. I mean, one of the Dutch guys who I worked with wrote me this amazing email saying that I'd captured the essence of the whole experience perfectly. And that was nice. That was a good reaction.
And it's been 50 years since Caroline first went on air. Obviously, you weren't around in the very early days. But what sort of period were you afloat?
I went to the ship in the summer of 78, and I stayed there until that ship sank in March of 1980, so just under 2 years.
And it must be odd seeing so many documentaries about it as well, particularly over recent weeks. It must be an odd experience seeing part of your life documented on TV.
Yeah, it is. And it's doubly weird because there are so many distinctive periods of Caroline's 50-year existence. You know, the 60s Caroline with Johnny Walker and Tony Blackburn and Dave Lee Travis and Emperor Roscoe. That's one particular period. And then in the 70s, because music changed, as the 60s turned into the 70s, you know, the Beatles produced Sgt. Pepper and the Beach Boys did Pet Sounds and the Pretty Things and the Small Faces, the kind of concept album developed. And instead of just having a 3-minute pop song by these people, they were making, as we called them in those days, LPs. And so Caroline reflected that. And during the 70s, for most of the 70s, Caroline had an album format. And when I was there, it was an album format. And then in the 80s, it evolved again, and in the 90s. And so there are very distinctive periods. And of course, my period with the station at sea was, you know, the late 70s. So when I see films like that dreadful The Boat That Rocked thing,
yeah,
which was just, you know... I watched that reluctantly, I have to say. I wasn't in the best frame of mind to watch it, but I watched it reluctantly. And it was, I mean, even as a piece of escapism, I just didn't rate it at all. But there was nothing about that film which was true to life. And watching that film, Jason, it just made me, when I was growing up, I used to love war films, and I still do love war films. Mm-hmm. And the amount of old boys that I used to come, oh, it was never like that. They've dramatized that just for Hollywood. It's not the same. And I used to think, yeah, but does it matter? And now I've kind of understood how they feel. You know, when you see a piece of celluloid or whatever it's called nowadays, take something which was part of your life and such a huge part of your life and dramatize it for, the titillation, really.
Yeah.
It is a bit daunting. It's a bit galling, really. But yeah, it was a fantastic time. And it really was the last great adventure for boys. I mean, I was a council estate kid from Southeast London. And suddenly there I was on this huge multinational, international radio station. And, you know, I was getting fan letters and I was getting letters from people who were responding because I played a particular song and a particular artist, and that was all new to me. It was the side of radio that I hadn't actually thought about, because I came into radio not with a desire to be a star. It was never about that for me. It was always about, you'll have to forgive the possible pomposity of what I'm about to say, but it was the art that attracted me to it. And so getting fan mail was a byproduct that I just never really thought about. And we had these little tenders would come out through the waves, and they'd supply all the food and the water and records. And they'd lob a couple of big bags over full of mail. And you'd sit and read these letters from people in places I'd never even heard of, countries I'd never heard of. And that really was the point that you realize just how powerful radio can be and what a difference it can make to people's lives. And I don't think in all the years I've been around radio for 40 years this year, I don't think I've ever experienced quite that level of listener engagement, if you like.
And things have changed a lot these days, haven't they? Because a tweet is so easy to do, or a text message into Radio 2 or somewhere. But it's so much more real when someone has to put pen to paper and go and physically walk down the road to post it. You know they really wanted to say whatever it is they told you.
There's a piece in the book where the main character receives a letter from what used to be known as East Germany. And in the book, this bloke in East Germany describes his life and his fears. Now, that really happened. That is factual. And I still have the letter. Where it veers away in the book is that in the book, it kind of arrives on the ship in 1978. It didn't arrive to me. I rejoined Radio Caroline in 1999, and I stayed with Caroline right up until last summer, although my show still goes out on the station. I'm not actually a part of the station. It would have been about 2001, 2002. I got a letter from this chap who told me how he lives in what was East Germany. He went into this such detail about what Radio Caroline meant to him. And he was talking about the fact that he was scared to listen at any reasonable level in case the neighbors heard that he was listening to a Western radio station. Radio Caroline gave him the impetus, quite honestly, as he described it, to live his life. He said that his life was so mundane, so gray, so devoid of any hope. What listening to the radio, and more specifically listening to Caroline, gave him was the idea that outside of his little bubble, there was a world where people were free, and he hung on to everything that we said and everything that we played. Now, bear in mind, this letter was written about 2001 or two, whatever it was, and he was going back to something that happened in, he specifically talked about 1979, and he said to me, you played Supertramp at 03:36 hours on the, and he gave me the date, and you then said blah, 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 and the image that I had in my mind was this. And you just think, wow, you know, how the hell can a council estate kid from Southeast London take this in, you know, how these people were living? And there was I bobbing around on a boat, oblivious to the effect that we were having on people's lives, and more specifically, oblivious to the, I guess it's, again, forgive the pomposity or the apparent pomposity of this, but we were giving him hope. And he makes that clear in the letter. Mm-hmm. You know, by listening to Caroline, it gave him hope. And that's huge. You know, that's stunning. And that is something that he held with him for a long time. And as you say, it's so much more important, and I've kept it, it's so much more special than a quick text or email, mm-hmm. you know, 100 characters or whatever. It's a wonderful, wonderful piece of well, it is literature. And
so certainly not quite to that scale, but I'm sure you had contact with Maria Margaret Holder in the days of Beacon.
Yeah.
And I've still got some letters from them, which were sent to me during the 80s. And it is interesting how radio has been such a partner for people over the years, and that does seem to have disappeared a lot, except for maybe the likes of some of the community stations who are still trying to fit into that that sort of part of people's lives. But it is a massive difference between now and then.
Yeah, and you know the we could talk for hours about this. I'll try and keep it brief, but it does upset me. I mean, it literally upsets me to see the state of radio nowadays, because too many radio stations have missed the vital ingredient of what makes radio special, and it's companionship. And it doesn't matter whether you are a rock station or a speech station or a classical station or a dance music station. People can get music anywhere, more so nowadays than ever before. Anyone can get music anywhere at any time, instantly. My kids, my older kids, 17 and 15, they listen to music on their phones, not radio stations. They just play MP3 files. So you can get music anywhere. It's what comes in between the music. It's that companionship. And that's the thing that too many radio stations nowadays have ignored. I wonder whether any of them are ignoring it or whether it's just that they don't quite understand it. And I think with the community stations, there's a huge opportunity for those stations to actually reclaim some of that. And you know, when I look at the Black Country, which is still a huge part of my life, you know, it's a very special place. And I'm not talking about the West Midlands. I'm talking about the Black Country. And it breaks my heart. It literally breaks my heart when I think back to Beacon Radio and WABC Radio, which came from Tetnall Road. It was, both of those stations were the Black Country. And I speak as somebody who isn't a native Black Country person. It breaks my heart to see the radio has just turned its back on those people. And in effect said, you know what, you're not really important enough to us. And it's just heartbreaking. I mean, literally heartbreaking to see that. And I just hope and I pray that somewhere further down the line, somebody will understand that there's a very proud people in the Black Country. And, you know, there are very loyal people as well, but they are Black Country people. And you can't lump them in with anybody else. You can't lump in Bilston with Shrewsbury, and you can't lump in Tipton with Birmingham. They are the Black Country, very proud, very proud. And one day I hope a radio station will actually tap into that and acknowledge it again, because it was a special time for me, and I loved it. And as I say, it's just heartbreaking to see mainstream radio just turning their back on.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, hopefully some of that magic can still be found in The Last Great Adventure for Boys, your novel, which is available now. How do we get hold of it?
Well, if you go to thelastgreatadventureforboys.com or .co.uk, there's an update on there. At the moment, it's not quite released. It's going to be released very soon. But if you go there, that'll update you on the release date and give you any information you want. So, I hope you like it. It's a story. You know, bear it in mind, it's never going to win the Nobel Prize for Literature, but it might just, you know, give you a nice time reading it. I hope so, anyway.
Fingers crossed. Bob, great speaking to you. Where can you be found on the air these days?
Well, I do my album collection, which goes out on Radio Caroline a couple of times, Friday night 6 till 8, and then it's repeated Saturday night at midnight. It also goes out on a community station in Wiltshire called Fantasy Radio, and you can go to radiocaroline.co.uk or fantasyradio.co.uk, and be good if you have a listen, Jason.
Okay, I shall tune in sometime soon. But as I say, great speaking to you, and look forward to the book as soon as I get my hands on a copy.
Jason, I really appreciate this. Thanks, mate.
Cheers. Drive it out. Well, thank you for joining us for show 250. Those competition details again. All you need to do is email studio@themilkbarpodcast.com, and we will put you in the draw for that goodie bag, and you can be winning the mug, the bag, and the T-shirt too. So it'd be good to see whether we can share that with you. Lovely to hear from you as well, and we shall look forward to having your company again for episode 251 next week. Ta-ra for now.
Goodbye from the Milk Bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the Milk Bar. Yeah.